Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, good evening, good evening. Hello to my TMGS family here on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. This is Michael Gay, and as usual, I have to tell you, the time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast, and in Louisiana, it's 5:03. I have to say that because I have a friend that's going to be chiming in, and there are hour difference. Today is November the 12th, 2022. And again, welcome to the show, and we have some topics, as usual, that we're going to talk about. Oh, the elections, voting, 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 and there's more voting to do. Isn't that crazy? More voting to do. Let me open up the chat room, because I'm sure some folks are probably going to chime into the chat room. But again, more voting to do, because Georgia is going to have a runoff between a minister who's in the Senate, former football player, who's not in the Senate, who used to live in Texas, and then was brought back here to Georgia to run against this other incumbent. Interesting, isn't it? Okay, so we're going to talk about that. There's a few other topics I definitely want to come across and as I wait for my co-host to chime in. But then also in the second hour, we have our special guest, Mr. Derek Muhammad. He has so many titles. This brother is an author, an actor, a director, a producer. And trust me, he does it all. He does it all. And there's a lot that's coming his way. And he's always has his ear to the ground about what's happening in independent film. And if anyone has information to share with us, it would be him. So I'm very glad that he's going to be joining us in the second hour of the show. So I'm trying to open up the chat room, and let me see. I'm sorry. It's like crazy for me today. There's so much stuff going on. So many calls I've received. I'm trying to type something here real quick. Okay, I got that in there. All right, so looking to see if our co-hosts are going to be able to join us today. And I'm hoping Blog Talk isn't acting crazy, because I've had this happen before, and I really don't want it to happen again where there's an issue with the show. Because when I went to post the show, Blog Talk was acting a little crazy. It glitched out and then it came back. So let me see if I can make sure other co-hosts are coming on. I'm trying to buy a little time here before I start the conversations. And if they're not available, then I still got to make sure the show goes on. Let me see here. Let me find. Oh, let's try Janet. Janet is having an issue calling in. Maybe, maybe not. Let me see here. Here we go. Okay, I'm back. So let me see here. I'm going to try this one here. I'll try here. Let me see. Let me see about this one here. Wait a minute. Back up. And let's see about this one. Okay, so you guys, yeah, Janet's on the board. She's called in. Time is about to call in. See, but, you know, I guess there was a reason for a term called CP time. So, but without further ado, please welcome the lady of the house, Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis. Hi, Janet.
CP time. I don't do CP time.
No, I'm just saying, no. I'm not being disrespectful, but that's a term now. But sometimes
I know,
they say folks are
I'm a firm believer.
You
no
have your business.
Time.
You have business to take care of. You have business to take care of. It's just a joke, Janet. Don't take it personal. Okay, but it's just a joke because not everybody be late. You know, but other people, some folks like yourself, have things they have to do and take care of. I get it. It's a joke. Kiki, ha ha. Anyway, okay. So time is going to be chiming in momentarily, and we're going to get to our topics. And again, I have to let you all know that in the second hour, we have a guest that's going to be joining us. You guys know him. You've heard him here before. And, you know, he always has something very interesting to share with us. And recently, I've seen him everywhere. I've seen him in his hometown, Planet Youngtown, you know, supporting the events there in California and everything. And he's going to share with us a lot about independent film. And I'm going to try to see if he can share a little bit about his thoughts on this whole Kyrie Irving thing over this documentary, I should say, that Kyrie has been suspended for. And what I've seen is basically about the fact that Kyrie shared the link. Now, I pulled up the movie or the documentary, and I started watching a little bit of it. I just did it. Took me a minute to find it because depending on how you search for it. And it's called Hebrews to Negroes. Maybe some of you guys know about this. It's called Hebrews to Negroes. And it's become a real big issue. All right. Also, we're going to go back and touch on this unfortunate murder of one of the amigos. They had a big going home celebration for him at the State Farm Arena here in Atlanta, Georgia. So That's interesting, too. So there's a lot of things that's been going on, hot topics, and I just, you know, like to see what you guys think about these things and, you know, this whole media thing of where here's the murder of a rap star. Here's an NBA player, which we already know many NBA players, many of them have been NFL players, have been abolished, banned, or, you know, blackballed and everything over their comments. But what I see is that all he did was just share the link. I don't know. What's your thoughts if you're familiar with it? Opening up the mic to the man on the West Coast, our good friend. We truly appreciate him because he keeps an eye on what's happening in the Sunshine State. Mr. Time and Mike, there you go again, Mike. There you go, Mike. Yeah. What up, Time?
What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, that's Janet. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Well, you know, on the Kyrie thing, when you have a platform, you know, don't put you have people who follow you. Okay, well, if you got something to say, be able to articulate what you're saying, and then you won't have problems. Okay, everybody's got a platform nowadays. You know, you don't have that platform, and then you're going to post something, seeing that you just had Kanye's crazy ass come out with some stuff and everything. And I understand a lot of black people are saying that, you know, people were attacking them or saying something about them. But my thing to even with Kanye, you got $1.5 billion, bro. You could have did whatever the hell you wanted to do. But you decided that you were going to make some comments toward Jews. You're going to bring up, you know, White Lives Matter. You wanted controversy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you making money off of you already got people buying your clothes, buying your shoes, buying your music, and now you want to go and mess with that? For what? Okay, so if you're going to go down that rabbit hole, guess what? They're going to come get you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say, oh, well, you know, you can say whatever you want to say. It's a free country. But there's also a consequence for opening your mouth. There's a consequence for posting something about the thing. Now, I saw that thing, Mike, about the whole story on the Jews. I saw that, all right? And true, there was nothing really anti-Semitic in it. I understand what the brother was trying to do. The oldest Jew actually is the Ethiopian Jew. Okay, this goes back all kinds, but the average American
way
is not
before
out there. The average American is not reading about this type of stuff. So guess what? When you put that on your platform, all he had to do was articulate what he was trying to say. Now, I had some friends. We got into a major debate. They said that's what he did. Shit, I said, no, he did not. They asked him, are you anti-Semitic? He should have just said, no, I'm not anti-Semitic. All right? You're not. And just say, hey, I thought it was a great movie. And I think people should check it out. That's all he had to say. And say, no, I'm not anti-Semitic. I thought it was an interesting movie. I recommend people check it out. That's all he had to say. Even the movie's not anti-Semitic. The movie doesn't even come out because guess what? It's shown on Amazon. So here it is, Jeff Bezos. I don't know if Jeff Bezos is Jewish or not. But it's streaming on Amazon. Did anybody go and ask Jeff Bezos? Is he anti-Semitic? No. But Kyrie, since his situation with the vaccine and all this different stuff that he did, you know, and I'm sorry, Trump is to blame for putting this, that all this disinformation and questioning everything going on. That all it takes right now, man, I'm talking about it's time to thin the herd, bruh. These people will buy it. We can sell you anything, man. They can sell you sand on the moon right now. These guys are buying into anything. You have to be, if you're going to go down that road, be well-read. Read,
correct.
Read, pay attention. And then, you know, do your research. You know?
Yeah,
so
okay, that's a good point. That's a good point. I want you to finish, but I apologize for interrupting because I hear many radio hosts, which you guys know, I know many of them, and many of them are to be all in all honesty, I have the deepest respect for them because they wouldn't be in the positions that they're in if they did not do their homework, right? They wouldn't be successful if they didn't do their homework. But I hear a lot of them say, read, read, read. But where are you reading from? Because you can go to many different sites. You can go to different, you know, places that's going to – or different how should I put it? Well, it's just like the Bible. I mean, you can go on the Internet and look at different versions of the Bible. So your information that you're getting from stories and everything, you know, you can't just read one story. Just like I don't just read what CNN says. I don't just read what Fox News says. I don't just read what MSNBC says. And what I've always said, I'm one who reads it all and then decipher what I believe is true.
Yeah, but you know what,
that's
Mike?
What you have
he also
mind
posted,
for, though.
But, Mike, he also posted stuff that Alex Jones said. That's also what got him in trouble.
Sure.
He didn't.
Right.
When you post stuff like that, and then also, guess what? He's a flat earther. He's a flat earther. That's another thing that got Kyrie in trouble. Bruh, all this time you believe in a flat earth? Come on.
Mm.
With all the money he got. You know what, Janet? With all the money that boy got, he can get in a plane. They have a plane, Mike, that will take you just high enough to where you can see before we go, right before you go into space.
Right. Where you can get to the curvature of the earth, right. I get that.
Right.
But he's
not
the only one. He's not
the only
one.
But that's the thing. Mike, that's the thing. All it takes is one to start spreading stuff. The thing
and
with
everybody
knowledge.
Jump on the bandwagon. Yeah.
But, you
can
know,
I
the thing of – go ahead.
You know, I want to mention you because you guys mentioned a little bit about Kanye West. You know, he thought he was bigger than anybody and could say anything. Wearing the shirt, White Lives Matter, you know, saying that he thought George Floyd died from drugs and not because of the knee on his neck. I had to see him on YouTube apologizing to the blacks and to everybody else and to the Jewish people because just like he had that them $2 billion, everybody pulled away from him. And he ended up being hardly with anything. He said he now knows what it feels like to have a knee on your neck. It had to take all of that for him to humble himself?
Well, I have to say this, okay? Look, to be a billionaire, there's a lot you have to consider. What he actually has cash-wise, as far as his investments, you know, you could be considered a billionaire based on your investments. That's not what you actually have cash-wise. Correct me if I'm wrong, Tiny.
But Mike.
Hold on, I'm not done. Hold on, please let me finish. It's not based on what he has in his bank account. It's based on his investments, okay, and can I finish? So once these other companies pulled out, that's where he did not become considered a billionaire. Now, Kanye has a lot of money. There's no doubt. But we have to look at the fact that he's not going to go broke. He's going to be starving. He ain't going to be homeless. The thing is that he was put into a billionaire status based on his investments and everything else involved. But if you take that away, that takes away his billionaire status. He still got millions. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Hold on a minute, please.
One at a time. I was no disrespect, Janet, but I was addressing that
go
to.
Go ahead, Janet.
Okay, but that's what I'm seeing. But go ahead, Janet.
No, I was just saying. Also, you know, yes, he might have some money, but he even tried to stop his private school, and then when he realized he lost the Adidas contract and other things, he hurried up and sent the text message back out to the parents saying, yeah, let your kids come back to school. He said he was going to start that school up again in Tufts, but when his pocket started hurting, he wanted that school because he didn't have hardly anything else to fall back on.
So hold on for a minute.
I'm going to let you chime in, but you said let Janet speak up, and I'm letting her speak up, but I have to respond to that. Is that what does that tell you? Is that Kanye ain't broke. He's looking at, okay, look, you guys, I can still pay for this. I still have money. I still have equity. I still have cash.
He didn't
want to
get sued by all these parents
because
they both, all of them paid for
it. Right. So hold on, please. Listen to my point, and then I'm going to open up you guys' mic, which is, are open. I'm asking you a question, but let me finish the scenario I'm looking at. What is his thought process? His thought process was what? Is that where, you know what? I need them to come on back. I'll keep the schools going. Isn't that what he was saying? Isn't that what he's trying to say? Hey, look, bring your kids back. He's going to make some adjustments, this, that, and the other. It's not where he can afford it, is my point. He can afford it.
Mike, one, the school is closed. It's not opening. Okay? Two, you don't even like reading a book. So how are you going to open a school and you don't even like reading it? You said reading is like eating Brussels sprouts. And number three, who cares how much money he had? You say you're a billionaire, much is given, much is required.
Many people care.
You went down this rabbit hole. Didn't nobody tell you to go down this rabbit hole. You went down that rabbit hole, and you got your own ass in trouble. I ain't got no sympathy for a brother. You sat up here, you did this, you made your way. Okay, I don't care if he said he had $900 million, $1 billion, whatever. Okay, you got the status. I'm not going to go in how much stock he got or whatever. Okay, you sat up here, and you had the opportunity to go any way you wanted. You chose that I'm going to go over here and fuck, and sorry my language, that he was going to mess with
no,
the
you
Jews.
Do.
But he went down that road. And my dad, I've said to many people who are defending him, I don't take anything away from his talent. I don't take anything away. He built his business from the ground up. I give him credit. Mm-hmm. The boy's daddy was a Black Panther. Your mama was an English professor who also was on the board of Chicago University. He comes from good stock. Now, he chose to do what he did. All right. Even the mother of his children, the mother of his children is part of a multi-million-dollar family. Now, you decided instead of going and spreading your oats someplace to where you could have built some grocery stores in a grocery desert area or spent your money helping black farmers build up their land so they can grow more food give food to blacks. He could have did all kinds of stuff, him and Kyrie, all right? But yet they go and they make these decisions, and then all of a sudden they start backtracking. What are you going down there for anyway? For what?
Yes, sir.
You've already beat the system. You beat the system. At one point, then they tell I'm hearing people say, well, you know, man, just because you got the money, you can't go down. You can't do what you want to do. Why the hell can't you? You can go do whatever you want. You got $1 billion. Whether you got $900 million, $500 million, whatever. Bro, you can go and say, hey, you could have called up Oprah. You could have called up Tiger. You could have went to any of these football players. Said, hey, man, I want to build a venture capitalist type of deal. Build up the money and start buying up property all over this goddamn land. He could have did all of that. But what did he do?
Okay.
I'm going
to
go and say that the Jews are controlling everything.
Okay. I want you to keep going ahead. Yeah, because we do have folks on the board. I have to open up another co-host and also a host of their own show. Cotton Campbell is in the house. What up, Cotton? K.C. Campbell.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Janet.
Hey.
Hi, sweetie. Yes.
I want to say one other thing. His net worth is actually $400 million. That's his net worth right now.
That's $400 million now, right?
$400 million. Adidas alone accounted for $1.5 billion of his net worth.
That's right. And he said they can't touch me, and they got pulled out from him the very next day.
Yeah. Okay, right.
You know, I've seen him talking big and bad, and then I've seen him, I saw his video where he apologized, and now he's humble, spreading love, talking about God. You weren't talking about God before when you made all the
money. Well, he was, because he had his gospel concerts and everything, and he got all his followers and everything, his fans, to support him for his big venue concerts. Yes, he was, but, you know, that's a different story. But now where, right, they hit him, you know, it's that old term, hit them in their pockets. You got to look at these companies that you have to rely on to make your status what it is. You can't stab them in the back. You can't say certain things without their approval, unless you're willing to step out on your own. Again, I'm saying is that where he was at a status, and he chose to go ahead and speak what he felt is truth, right? And, of course, we know the truth they don't want to hear. They don't want you to share.
On you?
What truth is,
well, you know what? By him saying that, that was the demise of it all, the word DEFCON. Can anybody give me an amen and agree? Had he not used that word, he probably would have been okay. He could have said anything else but DEFCON.
But Kanye,
maybe wrong, but I doubt
it. His conversations about God and all of that is just fake. Kanye is going to do whatever it takes to get the attention if they can run out and buy and support, because, unfortunately, Black people still ran in and supported him, even though he said and did the things that he did previously. And now we're here. He's talking about Jews this time. They said, oh, no, we're not having it. We're going to hit you where it hurts. And the only way we know it's going to hurt you is in your pocket.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. In your pockets. Your status financially.
But Black people didn't do that, though. They still ran out and bought the $3,000 shoes and bought his music. And still put up with the Kanye mess. And we're tired of I've been tired of the Kanye mess.
Right. And then Adidas says that even though those shoes were supposed to be for Kanye, they still can do those shoes without the name Kanye. He can't do anything about it.
So who's going to be the dumbass and still buy them without the Kanye brand? Who's going to be the dumbass? And still buy that style of shoe.
I
know that because you and I are more older and understandable of the fact that these shoes, to pay the thousands of dollars, hundreds and thousands of dollars, the work and actually the material isn't worth it. It's not. You're not paying for quality. You're paying for a name. That's all you're doing. The markup is for the name. For you to walk around in some damn shirt, shoe, wallet, I don't give a fuck what it is, because, oh, yeah, I got the Kanye brand. I got the such and such brand. The knockoff probably works better than the name brand. But that's the control of the mind. You cannot be part of society if you do not have the name that the society is used to, the brand is what's important. It's not the quality, it's not how good it is, it's the name, so you can brag. That's a fact. And we've been doing this for years based on name brands, and many of these name brands are manufactured in the same knockoff brand, same damn sweatshops, same location, same places. You buy a box of cereal from a grocery store, a name brand, Kellogg, right? Then the store has their own brand. You know what you're going to do? You're going to buy a Kellogg. Oh, I've known that name, not the product. I've known that name all my life. But the store brand is probably better for you.
The store brand probably came from Kellogg.
Hold on. I'm almost done. The store brand is probably better for you, first of all, financially, because it's cheaper.
Sometimes.
Than the name brand. Okay? But here's what you're doing when you buy the name brand. You're paying for all the advertisements that they have on television. You don't see the store brand advertising that particular product. You buy a box of cereal, they have a commercial for that cereal. Does a store brand have that for just that cereal? No. But you're buying a brand. You have been programmed. And come to find out, and I've shared this many a times, and Jenna, I'm sure you heard me say this, what I found amazing, going back to reading and doing some research, when you buy the name brand like a Jiffy or Skippy peanut butter, right, that's the name brand, right? And then what happens is this. You're going to pay more for their brand because they know you will. But the store brand, when I did my research, is really healthier for you. The major brands take out the skin on the peanut, which they do different things. No, this is a fact that I researched and looked at years ago. They remove the skin off the peanut. The store brand, theirs go through a process where they leave it. Based on taste, I think, is what they're saying. But they program you to like that taste. But really, that skin staying on the peanut, because the peanut is natural, is healthier for you. More protein. But you'd rather pay more money to a company that's removing a more healthier product. Does that make sense?
When it comes to certain things, it's sometimes about the quality. It's about what you like. When you're talking about food, that's something totally different, because sometimes non-name brand don't taste as good. Sometimes non-name brand ain't that good. I'd rather leave it on the shelf.
I just said that.
When it comes to clothing, that's something totally different, because even still, the quality of something could be better in clothing. But you can go to a DD's or you can go to a Ross or a Burlington and still find great quality clothes for a lesser price that's not necessarily name brand.
News alert, do you realize that a lot of those products at these shops that you just mentioned, some of them, not all of them, actually purchase the product from the major stores and resell them to you at a lower cost, right? When you go to a big name company where they want to charge you $100 for this product and then it's not moving off their shelves, they have to make room for the new line of a product. They have to remove it.
Yeah.
So they sell it all to other stores. You know that. Okay. So here's what I'm trying to understand. Oh, well, that's out of style. No, nothing's out of style. You make it your style.
Okay.
So once that company that wants to charge you $100 for this, I'm just going to throw out a number, $100 for this, they're like, okay, you know what? We got a shitload of product left. We're going to sell it down to that lower brand, or which might be part of their whole company, right? Some companies do have, or some stores do have a lower brand or a lower store, depending on who owns what. So they ship it down there, and they bring it down from $100 to $50. It's still what they were going to try to get $100 out of your pocket, still a product that is going down and down and down. And you could buy it, and next thing you know, it drops down to maybe $30. Because I see it every day with folks walking to the store I work at, and they paid top dollar for it. And before you know it, the company has to drop the price to get it out of there. They got to make room for the new shit that's coming in. But we, and not black folks only, but people, feel like, oh, I got to have the news, you know, this and the other. Hey, take your time. It's going to drop in price because it got to make room for you to buy the newest shit. And we are so set up on having the newest. I think Janet was going to try to chime in on that.
Well, yeah, this is a different scenario because I have worked also in a lot of manufacturing companies for the government. But when I worked at Graflex, we built projectors and visual aids and all their slide projectors, all kinds of things. We didn't just build for us. When we built for us, we put the name of that company on that product. But when we built the same identical thing for Kodak, for Xerox, for IBM, all these different places, only thing we didn't do was put our name on it. They put their name on something that we built and sold it for less. But it was the same identical product. It wasn't less. It wasn't, like you said, going to a place and you're getting the same thing from the same sweatshop. It wasn't like that. Because we paid more, people paid more for Graflex product, the 35-millimeter projectors and all that. But when Kodak got a hold of it, it was a lot cheaper. But we built it.
Okay, but you see what I'm talking about here. And in fact, I want time to chime in a minute. We're at 6:38 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And like I said, at the top of the hour, our special guest, you all know, the one and only, you know, I like his many names. He's going to join us at the top of the hour. But I want time to chime in on what I just said, what Cotton just said, and what Janet just said. You know, it's a thing of where what I just said was this. In some cases, it comes from the same manufacturing, right? Comes from the same location. She just said, you just throw a name on there. But it's the same damn thing.
It's the same. Yeah.
Excuse me? But you just said it's the same thing. But by using the name, you up the price. Where I work at, I did price changes, and where a certain name brand, the prices went up. But it's the same shit. For what reason? And we as consumers, because we need our product, we need food, we need our cars, we need to repair stuff, we need oil filters, we need gasoline, okay? But just because it's a certain name brand, we believe that it's the best. We've been programmed to believe this is the best one based on the name. But it's the same shit. It's the same shit. And
well,
that's a fact.
Mike, we live in a consumer-driven society, Mike. So because we live in a consumer-driven society, and we've also, you know, we've been considered label whores. Okay, that's all that is. I mean, you know, I mean, your first cars and stuff, but they found ways. And also with us being now a global, you know, globalization, which, you know, Ronald Reagan and everybody sold us on, and everybody to say, hey, we'll send that product to those to a foreign country, get it made for cheaper, but turn around and sell it back to the American worker, to the American people. You know, that's why that banana. You say, well, why do we have immigration? Well, because America's in Central America, and they over there, and that banana is a quarter to you. Kanye's tennis shoes that were $3,000 were made for $1.25 in the Philippines, but I'm gonna sell it to you for $3,000. Okay, you know, we are trained, and that was put together by Edward Bernays, who also taught J.P. Morgan and Andrew Sloan, who started General Motors. They showed you how to buy. That's why information is so important. The more information I know about you, I know what to sell you. I know your favorite color. I know when you get up in the morning. I know that's why they follow you and all these different things that you check out on the Internet. That's why they follow you. That's why they sell your information. Your information is probably more valuable than the product that you're trying to get. Once I know where you're going and what you're into, that's what I'm going to sell you. And that's why we do. In our society, we are consumer-driven. I want you to consume more crap that you don't need. I'll sell it to you cheaply, or I'll sell you a Gucci bag, or I'll sell you, once I put all these different names from the Ralph Laurens and everything else, once I put it on there, we are told that this is the best and this is what we got to have, unless someone goes out there and checks it out. That's why they try to get people to live a practical life. You know, they try to use it to live practically, but you are left to your own demise, your own thought process.
Well, you know,
that's why we were saying that if Kanye does what he does and he created this great project, I know guys who wear his shoes. They love his shoes. They think that they're very comfortable, you know. And Adidas was, you know, when Adidas hooked up with him, they said, oh, wait, great. We'd love to have Kanye. Kanye is blah, blah, blah. But then again, you can't go take that product and say, oh, well, the Jews are this and the Jews are that. But then you're going to say, I'm a Christian and all this. Well, wait a minute. That's just like the evangelical. The evangelical Christian was not even didn't get into really promoting into the political scheme until 1978.
Mm-hmm. I have to look at the time.
1978.
Right. Well, I have to look at the time here on my clock. You know, I have to try to stay within the parameters of the show. I appreciate you sharing that because I might have to extend the show a little bit depending on our guest because he is scheduled to be on in the next 15 minutes. But and I know that we schedule things accordingly, but sometimes it does change, and I do have the right to do that. But I thought this was interesting. Janet does a lot of research and politics and everything, and I definitely want us to go into the fact that since we only have 15 minutes, looking what had occurred this past election, Georgia is the pinpoint now of what happens between the runoff. How did we get to a damn runoff in Georgia between, these two individuals? I find it interesting that it got to this point when you're comparing a pastor, a minister. Only thing that I know of, okay, let's look at the negatives that Raphael Warnock has. Allegedly, he ran on his wife's foot in the car. They examined her foot. There was no bruising. Okay. Who paid her? I don't know. Okay. Allegedly, it's where he's a slumlord, which was put out there, right? Janet, you know that. Heard about that where, he's not doing this and the other and allowing this to go on. But here we know that the Republican Party is putting that out there. Okay, so let me finish. Hold on. So, but then we do know the documentation of Herschel Walker. That's not an allegation. That's a fact. Okay, you can look it up. How did we get to a runoff over two individuals of where Herschel Walker, granted he was a great sports athlete, what the fuck is, excuse my language, I don't normally cuss on the show, but sometimes I will, and I have that right to do so, but what the hell is Georgia thinking that this guy is not going to be the guy that the Republican Party is going to use to try to sway the black majority here in Georgia. I'm sorry, the black folks here in Georgia. I mean, obviously it's working because we're going to have a runoff. And then when you look at the Republicans here in Georgia who voted for him to get it to this point, doesn't that tell you something? That where, yeah, if we get a black guy who's a football star, you know, we could probably get a lot of black folks to support him. What's going on here? This should have never happened, in my opinion. Should have never been a runoff, which a runoff basically is called a tie. You're tied. You're talking about a guy who went to college and actually got a degree, became a minister, actually has been the senator or one of the senators for Georgia.
Lewis.
And then all of a sudden, which I'm talking about Warnock. But now the Republican Party brings in and moved Walker from Texas back to Georgia. What is this? I mean, what is the scenario here? What is the ideal? What is the plan? It boggles my mind. I'm like, really? This guy has so many proven lies. Proven lies. He didn't graduate from the University of Georgia. He was not in his top of his class. He was not a police officer. There's something more to this because when you deny the facts, you have some underlying thing going on here. Jan, I'm going to let you speak on that. What's your thoughts about this shit that's going on?
They just want a body. They want a yes person. And they think because he was black, all the blacks was going to run over and vote for him, just like they did when Biden and Trump was running and Kanye West was on the ticket. Hey, you know, that's what they actually think. Because he was black, we were going to vote for him.
Okay.
And
well,
the reason why he got up there because they voted, when the people do a down ballot, they voted for, they said a lot of them voted for the governor, Kemp. But they did not vote for Walker. They voted for
Walker?
Warnock.
Okay.
That's why it was a little difference in far as, because you know Stacey didn't get that many votes, but Warnock got a lot.
Okay. Right. Because. So you know, because like in a game of chess, you sacrifice your pawns. So anyway, you guys probably will understand my point after you know you think about it. Okay, so I want to go to Tymon. I know this is not your state, but I'm sure you're aware of what's going on here in Georgia. Georgia will determine at this point how the Senate is made up. What's your thoughts on this whole thing?
Well, the thing is, those are white folks who are voting for Herschel. Those are not black people. There may be a few, but those are white folks voting for him. And they interviewed some white folks, and they voted for him because I just don't want Warnock to win. They don't even care if the boy can articulate or that he knows anything about policy. They put him there because that's what they wanted. And the thing is, if it does happen that they make him, that he beats Warnock, okay, and he's also, remember, he has evangelicals voting for him. So you want a guy who has lied. Now, you have an actual Christian preacher, pastor, right? You have an actual Christian pastor who is pro-life, but you have Herschel who has lied. He's had two abortions already done. But yet he said he's against abortion. He cannot put together two sentences. He quotes stuff about the Bible, and yet the dude who is an actual pastor, you don't want him. You want this fool who's pulling scriptures out of his butt to sit up here and talk to you and everything. He didn't lie. that he was a sheriff. He didn't lie and said he graduated the top of his class. He didn't lie every time he opened his mouth. And the boy threatened the girl that he was with. It used to be that the Republicans were the so-called what they call them, party of law and order, or they were the party of reason and all this stuff. And they are none of that. They are accepting someone who has broke every rule in the game. Now, and also, as you know, all the Trump's people that Trump promoted, they lost. They didn't win.
Right. I was about to get into that.
Which is the reason why they don't want Trump to make an acknowledgement. Because this dude,
right.
and that's going to be on Georgia. That's going to be on Georgia if Herschel Walker
gets right,
in
office. This state. Right.
That is going to be. Now, black folks should come out in droves. If you want to show how ignorant and that and on it that we that because he's making that would just make a mockery of what's going on in Georgia. Like you said, that they'd rather have Herschel Walker than Warnock, and they'd rather have that and then Stacey Abrams. Okay. Now I knew Kemp would probably win. Okay.
You know
but,
how
oh,
he
I knew that.
You know how he won $350 he gave everybody not everybody, but most of the people $300
yeah.
and that was on Medicaid or food stamps and things like that. He gave them $350 and they act like that was the be all and the end all. And so that's why they
yep,
voted for him.
Yep. They gave right,
and, so, but
and,
then, but
and
then
to me,
referendum.
Okay. So hold on a minute. Here's where I think, and Janet just said something that because I saw that myself, I saw where people have this card that says Georgia. It's not a Visa card or whatever you want to call it. It's not a MasterCard. He gave out these cards to folks. So that's buying votes. And
yeah,
you know what?
That's what he did.
What I had individuals who came up and were using these cards to buy gaming systems. Not food.
Mm-hmm.
But gaming systems and shit. Gaming accessories. It's like, well, shit, we got a good job. You know, we make money. But the governor gave us this free money. I'm serious, and I hope I hope that I'm not being monitored. But I don't give a shit. I'm sharing the fact that I'm looking at where. Okay, so what did he give this money to them for? How to use it? Was it for food? What was it for? Your rent? Everything? No, there's folks mm-hmm. who's buying Christmas gifts
yep.
and shit.
You can buy what you want to buy with
for themselves.
And he did that on purpose.
And I saw that shit. And I'm looking at where one person tried to use this card, and I look at it, it says Georgia on it. I'm like, now one, it didn't go through. The other one, it did. I'm like, what the hell? I was not really aware of this whole thing because I didn't get one, okay? Had I got one, I'd probably been, you know, more understandable about how this shit works.
You don't
but,
have
yeah,
Medicaid.
Right, I don't. So it's like, oh, okay. Those individuals are going to honor him and say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and vote for you and whoever you support. Right? So if
mm-hmm.
you support Herschel Walker, you just gave me this big ass. I'm going to support him too in the runoff. That's buying. I don't care how you look at it. That's buying.
That's what he did. Because
hold on a minute. You're getting into the psyche of the human mind. You give me money, I'm going to support whatever you're doing. That's what just happened. Do you guys agree
yeah.
or disagree?
I
okay,
agree.
So I noticed that. I see. Hold on a minute. I see our other host of her own show, sitting back there in the back of the booth in the corner in the dark, as Flip Whistle would say. I want to hear her point of view on it, and that would be Cotton Campbell. What do you think? You don't live here in Georgia, but what happens here in Georgia in the runoff will affect the entire United States, to be honest.
And I'm just listening.
Cotton, Susan. Okay. What's your thoughts about that?
I'm listening because I'm not sure. That's why I'm listening.
Okay.
Like I would have to do some more research, so I'm sorry, y'all.
No, don't apologize.
I haven't been following that situation at all.
Okay. Yeah.
In the Senate, it's 49. Can I say something? In the Senate right now, it's 49-49. But they're still waiting on a few other places like California, and I think it might be Nevada. I can't remember what the other place is. But they're waiting on these couple more places, and there's several that's in California. And if they get the Senate, then it will be 50-49, and with Warnock, it will just be an extra help to the Democrats, because right now
the deciding factor is
our Vice President, Kamala Harris.
Okay. I appreciate that you shared that, because here's what Donald Trump wanted. He wanted the elections, well, when it came to the presidential, I'm not talking about this one here, but during the presidential, he wanted the voting to stop at midnight, the counting to stop at midnight. Imagine if we did that for every damn election. That, you know what, at midnight, sorry, even if you put your shit in, we're not going to count it. Different states have different rules in elections.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Different states have different rules in elections. It can take a week to do a full count and to verify the legitimacy of it.
Like Arizona.
So at this point in time, we don't know who's going to be or who's going to run the House. Well, actually, we know that, the Republicans will probably have the House. The Senate is what's up.
You still got
grass.
California, Michael, and there's a lot more in California. And they don't need that many more votes.
Well, what I'm saying is that when I look at all the different projections that are on the media at this point, they're projecting that the Republicans will have the House. And right now, the toss-up is who will run the Senate.
They didn't project that the House yet, because they still got a lot to come from California. You still have Arizona and I think parts of Nevada. So right now it's still a toss-up. The Dems can still keep the House.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens, because this is this is going to be an interesting year in elections, because then it's going to really have a it's really going to have a decision maker on the presidential election, right? It really is.
I know
Donald
the Republicans are going to have to do some rethinking, because they thought they were going to do a sweep, and they found out that the people that Trump put in place to run, most of them didn't win. It might be maybe one or two, but that was it. It was no sweep.
Well, you know,
so they're doing
serious
thinking
You're very right. Many of the individuals that Donald Trump supported did not win their seats. And so it's okay. So I'll have to go ahead and then close this segment out and just say this, is that where our guest is here with us. So I want him to chime in a moment. But I want to close out with this. And thankfully, I'm glad that time is still with us. What is your final thoughts about this whole election thing? I wanted to talk about some other things, but we'll do that next week. There's always something going on here in America. But what's your thoughts about the outcome, seeing Georgia is the bull's eye, actually, of how the Senate will look? Do you think Georgia is really going to squeak through Democrat-wise or Republican-wise?
I think they're going to get Democrat. I think that Warnock's going to win by what they're doing, because they understand how the stakes are the, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, because Lindsey Graham is stating right now that this is on black people, that if Herschel Walker don't win, this is against black people, that it's going to keep black people from ever voting again. Black people need to get out and vote for Herschel. It's like, there again, we have a white dude that's out telling black people what they need to do. I don't need your con ass, because your AG right there in Washington and Georgia wants him to speak. He's in no position, Lindsey Graham, no position to be speaking, because he had good old Clarence Thomas block him going in to testify, because he knows.
In Georgia.
Right.
Yeah, let us not forget, the indictments are coming. And when the indictments come, okay, even Chris Christie told that this is all on Trump. Once Herschel loses, okay, which is the reason why Warnock got his spot, and they're going to have another Jew and a black man in Georgia who's going to win and turn this around. Because you cannot have this man speaking, because if Herschel Walker gets in, y'all going to catch hell in Georgia. Y'all better not.
And one more thing.
Hold on, everybody. Okay, because our guest is still on the board, and I have to open up the mic. I want to go ahead and move forward. Thank you, Timon, for your point of view, and I hope that you stay on the show with our guest. I want to go ahead and go around the board, okay? So I can open up our guest mic. I just want to finish out this particular segment of the show. I want to go to Cotton Campbell. Do you have something to say? And then after that, the lady of the house, Janet Davis, to close out that particular topic. Cotton, your mic is open.
What am I saying?
What's your thought? Accordingly, the thing is that we're here in Georgia. It looks like where this runoff that's coming up may consider who will be, you know, controlling the Senate of the United States government. What's your thoughts about that?
My thoughts is I'm going to start following so I can have a thought next time you ask that question.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and send it over to Janet Davis. Janet, what's your thoughts?
Yes. I just want to say this. The Democrats are giving $7 million for this runoff for Warnock, and they already got boots on the ground campaigning. And it's not going to be for people who voted already. People who haven't voted can vote. So they're investing $7 million for the runoff to get Warnock in.
All right. Thank you so much. You know what? So in my research, and I looked at where 7 million is great, but you know what's so amazing is that where the Republican Party, meaning all the major actors who are already there, they're putting in more than 7 million. They're probably putting in more than 3-4 times the amount. Well, I won't say that.
I don't think so, because the one that got control of the money is Trump.
Well, we'll talk about that next week, but I do know that I looked at where Mitch McConnell and many of the Republicans, okay, are really upping the ante to make sure that Walker wins. All right. So with that being said, let me go ahead and change gears. Okay, well, you're right. We'll see. We got 30 days we have a runoff, and we'll be all back here and see if it turns out to be what you may think it should be or what they may think it should be. We'll find that out after 30 days. Okay, so let us move forward. By the way, for any of you that are listening on the internet, you're listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live here from Atlanta, Georgia, on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. I'm thankful and honored to have my co-hosts, many of my co-hosts, and the hosts of one of my greatest friends, to be honest. I had to stop. And I'm so thankful to Cotton Campbell, who has her show here on the TMGN. I want to give her a chance to go ahead and share with you all what's coming up on her next broadcast, because she has some great conversations with the ladies of TMGN. Great shows. So without further ado, I have to tell you all, I had to ask this brother to come on the show. He's been on numerous times, but I've been watching him travel from Planet Youngstown. Okay. Excuse me. But all the way to California, you know, and I'm seeing pictures and photos of him with different individuals in the movie and the music industry. And some I know, some I don't know. But I started looking at them like, wow, they're networking. They're actually a group of individuals. Based on everything that we just talked about earlier, I love to see the fact that there is a network, there's a process going on for black film, black television, everything that we talk about. Not just on this show, but other shows. So I'm honored and thankful to have, I truly call him my brother, because he's always upfront and honest. And to be honest with you, this network would not continue to broadcast if not for the fact that he told me and said, man, you better keep going down your journey. Follow your journey. So without further ado, you guys, we're going to talk with him, and this is Mr. Derek Morehouse.
You're far too kind. You're far too kind, Michael Gay. You're far too kind.
What's up,
far
my brother?
Too kind, Mike.
How you doing?
I'm good, man, and you far too kind.
I just speak from my heart, you know what I'm saying? How you doing?
Oh, man, I appreciate it, man. I'm good, man. And how's everybody on the Michael Gay Show? Salute to you all.
Thank you.
Hello.
All right.
So thanks for having me,
you know,
brother.
Oh, I'm honored to have you, man, because the last time you were on, of course, we had the Caramel Princess, Miss Karen White on. You guys shared a lot of things and everything, you know, and I love how you said, hey, look, this ain't my moment. And I'm like, well, you know what, we're going to make your moment. But I appreciate it when you were on, you know, along with Karen. And I'm looking at all these great ventures that you're going on where you're in Ohio, okay, Youngstown, that's your home, right? And you're traveling everywhere, right? You're going from you're going from Planet Youngstown all the way to California on the beaches. You're communicating with folks in different industries, from music to movies and everything, and you guys are networking. For the people that are listening, and we're talking about, you know, independent films, indie films is the term, And you've been doing this independently for a long time. If you don't mind, share for the folks, what is indie films, and what is the benefit of being independent instead of going or trying to find a major company? I don't know if I'll share that right, but go ahead, sir.
Well, let me clarify something. So I'm from Youngstown, but before I went to California, I lived in Columbus, Ohio for like 25 years, right after I got out the Navy.
Okay.
And while I was in Columbus, I was married, I had children, got divorced, I had an insurance agency, sold an agency, started doing stand-up comedy, and I built my comedy career in Columbus, Ohio. And when I left to go to California, that's when I ended up meeting Karen White. And I started doing acting in there, in California, training and acting along with my stand-up. And then we were able to venture off, and that's when we did Gale in the Storm, came to Atlanta. And I've been working with her, assisting her as a role manager, as well as managing my artist, Akbar, who happened to be my son, starting a label, and then still doing the independent film thing. He went off to school, back to school to get his degree in January, and things just took off because I had put my whole film career on a hiatus until, you know, while helping him get his rap game off. So once he went off to school, man, things just opened up, man, like floodgates for me as far as from acting, filmmaking, producing. I ended up directing in two reality shows filmed in Florida, which is in post-production. Well, one is in post and one is in pre-production. Did a pilot called Lucky in Newark, which I wrote, directed, and starred in. And this year was so crazy, I even was on the Wheel of Fortune and won some money, man. So, you know, it's been epic.
Right, I
answer,
saw that. I saw
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right. Now, to answer your question, the thing with independent film means totally you just independent. You don't have studio backing. You don't have distribution. You don't have financial backing. So what you have to do is everything independently. And the whole history of independent film started with John Cassavetes, who used to work as an actor. He was actually in the Dirty Dozen, and he was married to Gina Rollins. And he started doing independent film outside the Hollywood system. And that's where he really got noticed. And then probably my favorite independent person of all time is Roger Corman, who started doing independent film outside of Hollywood. He got a book about how he made over 100 movies outside of Hollywood and never lost a dime. And I read that, and
wow,
that would spark me to enter the whole independent film world, because once you go to the studio system, they rule and regulate over what your story is going to be about. They have a whatever that trend or whatever that agenda is, they're going to put that in your movie inside the Hollywood system, and you have to placate to that. And that's not my thing. So that's the reason why I'm an independent film director and many others. Plus, it's you know, you got to be selected to be inside Hollywood. And once you're selected in Hollywood, if they give you a career, they can take it from you. But if you own it, you build it, like Tyler did, and now he had Hollywood come to him and negotiated his terms. So that's what a lot of independents are doing right now. Did that answer your question?
Oh, yes, most definitely, because, see, here's the reason why I really enjoy listening to you speak, because my listeners, my co-hosts, my followers on the show probably don't know what you just shared, right, of how the industry works and how we support certain shows, certain movies, you know, and all that. And what you share that, you know, it's educational. And I say that because, see, you're working on so many different projects that we don't know about yet, but we go with the major companies. But support the independent. Look them up. Find out who they are. They have something to offer. You understand my point? We're not listening to the fact that there's a lot of great talent out here, you don't have to go with the major networks. You ain't got to go with the major studios and everything. There's a lot of independent studios. But, you know, with the whole thing of the internet, you can research and find it. People talk about, do your research. Well, you know what? You could do your research into black independent companies, good movies, good producers, good directors, whatever you want to do if you're trying to get into the business. But if you want to look at something that's, and I'm not going off key, hopefully, but the thing is that there's a lot of great black movies out there that the major companies are not going to put in a theater, or let alone out there on when you go to your Amazons and everything. There's a lot of great stuff out there.
Yeah, let me say this too. Like, just because it's indie don't mean it's good. And Hollywood has been over 100-year-old industry. They have perfected the art of filmmaking, and they get the best of the best actors, the best directors, the best production, the best budget, the distribution. And yes, they have flops, but they have more successes than flops. The whole thing is a political situation. So when you're outside of that system, you have to use your talent, you got to use your resources, and you have to have a business structure set up so you can be successful in order to do it again. So the problem I find with a lot of the independent filmmakers, I just left American Film Market last week. I was out there in L.A. for a week, and it's first time for me going. But what happens is a lot of filmmakers have this whole Hollywood construct where they have to find financing and go and pitch their project to producers and hope they get, you know, get their lottery ticket pulled.
Always in that way. Always in that way, right?
Yeah, and they have to find distribution, and then with the distribution, you've got to go through certain companies that is subsidiaries of the big boys, and you may find most of the time. You may find predatory companies that will take your movie, put it on the network, but the filmmaker or the producers never see a dime because the business structure wasn't set properly. So they may not get no money. They may think they're getting something on the back end, and as Judge Joe Brown told me, there's never no back end. Get your money up front. So the whole thing about what I learned, doing the independent route, is you got to have your business intact. You got to have your project intact. You got to know who you're marketing your film project to, you know. And it's 7 billion people in the world, and if you can find your tribe, you could end up watching, repeating it, and having the same thing. Tyler did that with a stage play. He was end up able to leverage a deal with Lionsgate. Now he got a deal with BET. He got a studio. So he's in the, you know, regardless if you like his projects or not, he's in the ball game. But I know some other filmmakers in Atlanta, black guys, who are doing the same thing on another level, but they're making money, they're getting their projects out, and, you know, it works. You just have to be smart enough to know how to do it. And if you find your lane and you're able to get in your lane, you can, have a successful career. It might not be as big as Will Smith or Eddie Murphy or someone like that, but it could be successful enough where you can make a living and you can garner support. And have a fan base, a loyal fan base that would be looking for your projects.
Well, you know, I like what you said about distribution is very important, because if you can't distribute it, the public can't hear it.
Oh yeah, that's right.
You can have a hit song, and by the way, you guys, I'm kind of like cross referencing it here, because our guest here is a director, producer, writer. Actor, you know, and I really appreciate him coming on the show and sharing, you know, his knowledge of his experience. And of course, he's going to continue to keep traveling his journey. And I pray that he keeps coming back and sharing it. But the point I'm saying is that where I've heard this whole thing about distribution, and distribution is not just in the United States, but worldwide. Is that correct?
Oh, man, it have to be worldwide. The main thing, though, is the big boys have locked that thing up. So they decide, if, like, even with the theaters, you know, or even the big film festivals. You know, a lot of people say, oh, man, I need $1 million. I'm going to shoot my movie. I'm going to go to Sundance. Well, Sundance has been bought up by the studios. So the Sundance, since they've been bought up by the studios, all the movies that the studios had already bought or plan on buying is going to be at Sundance. So some of your movies that may be good, they have a cutoff. And if you can't make that, you're going to have to go another route. So what
okay,
I've
so,
learned
so,
is that, yeah. Well, let me
I'm
finish.
Sorry.
What
I've
learned
I'm,
is
I'm,
that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, hold that. What I've learned is that you have to find, you got to learn self-distribution. You have to learn how to take your project to a platform. With net right now, with technology and these streaming platforms, you can live. Amazon Prime, Tubi TV, All Black Network, Peacock, all these streaming platforms, and there are others around in different regions of the world that will take your project. But that's a whole nother math. That's a whole nother business strategy, but they do exist. So that's the reason why the people need to know or align themselves with people who do know and can get you in these platforms to get your film distributed and you can make some money off of it. But go ahead with your thing you wanted to say.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you could share with the listeners. Okay, so you mentioned Sundance, and I'm aware about Sundance. It's where, as you just said, that you can, a few folks, can go ahead and share their project there. And many actors, directors, and everything, all kinds of folks, attend this particular event. Can you share with the listeners what Sundance is really about?
Well, Sundance is started by Robert Redford. It's in Park City, Utah, every February, okay? And it's a film festival, and it used to be where a lot of the independent filmmakers would go to get their movies seen by industry. For example, Robert Rodriguez won Sundance. Quentin Tarantino premiered at Sundance. You have a lot of films that started there, and a lot of careers have been made by going to Sundance and getting found, getting discovered, cutting a deal. And Birth of a Nation got their deal cut at Sundance or Toronto, one of them. But they only have 15 major film festivals that go on every year. And some of them are Oscar-worthy, where if they do well, the Oscar, they can get an Oscar nomination. Martha Vineyard is one of them. So you have to, you know, I mean, it's kind of luck of a draw. You know someone, I know some people that got in because they knew somebody, they had a relationship there, and you get in Sundance, you get in Cannes, you can get in Tribeca, you can get in Toronto, you know. So with that being, or Telluride, with that being said, they have different festivals, but most of them are bought up by the industry. They have a certain, you know, they premiere their films there, they get a buzz going, then they take them straight to the theaters and, you know, try to get it at the box office as well. So it's just a lot of streamlining there, and it's been, you know, taken over by the big boys. So it's not as independent. South by Southwest is another one. It's not as totally independent as they first originally started out with because money talk and bullshit walk.
Yeah,
right.
That's
true.
Exactly.
That's
true. Hey, my brother, I thank you for sharing that knowledge because I've seen you on social media, you know, as I just said, you sharing, you know, where you networking with so many different folks. And to be honest, I had to do some research on some of them. You know, we have the special guest here, Mr. Derek Muhammad here, who is a director, a writer, a producer, and of course, he's the alchemist, right? Okay. Tightrope walker, dream chaser. And he's sharing, you know, what he's doing with us right here on the show. I want to go ahead and go to my co-host because I'm sure many of folks have some questions about what you just shared for themselves and probably to help out someone in their family, you know. And let me go to the lady of the house first. Jenna Davis, you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, Derek. Nice hearing from you. I like what you said earlier about, you know, people finding their lane. You know, I think that's a very good advice. And I have two questions. One, are you still doing stand-up? And the second, you mentioned two reality shows that you were working on. Can you tell us a bit about that, or when at least it's going to air so I can follow through and look at it, watch it?
Sure. Okay. To answer your question, I haven't done stand-up in a while, but I plan on getting back on stage in 2023 and work on my material and shoot me a special and put it out and get it streamed or sell it to a platform.
Mm-hmm.
Along with when I, you know, I want to make it around the same time I shoot my next feature film, The Share, which I've slated to shoot in spring time. So that's the whole thing with that. But I love doing stand up. It's just that, you know, you just can't wing it. You got to build it up. Just like a football player, you got to start training again and getting in the gym, getting his stride back, getting his rhythm back, so he can hit that stage and hit his timing right. Because it is one of the most honest art forms in entertainment. I mean, you know,
mm-hmm.
stand-up comedy is very difficult, and you got to make sure you're on point. To answer the question about the two reality shows, I'm doing I was called in to help clean up a reality show and put it together for a producer down in Orlando who had someone shoot it for, but they didn't put in structure, and they kind of robbed her. So I was able to help salvage the show, me and another brother, and it's called Queens of BBW. Big, beautiful black women. Queens of beautiful BBW. So it was shot, and the whole first season is shot, and they got some interesting characters in that. The second reality show is in pre-production, and it's the same production house which I was asked to direct, called The Etiquette. And what it is, it's about a woman who specializes in etiquette, and she's having a show with children. So we're in development right there. We're going to be shooting that in Miami. Probably the top of the year. So, yeah, that's the answer to that.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Cotton Campbell. No, I'm sorry. Cotton, I'm going to come back to you. Because I know that Timon has a lot of things going on. Timon, you have a question or comment with our guests. Because you are.
Hey, Derek. How you doing, man? I'm looking at your IMDb Pro right now. I'm looking at your IMDb, and it's good to know that you're out there working, pushing. I myself am a 30-year vet as a comedian and actor, and we have our project that we're putting together for a TV show. We're waiting to hear back from Macro Productions. So, yeah, I know what you're
nice.
– I totally agree with everything you're saying.
What's your name again, brother?
My name is Timon Ship, T-Y-M-O-N, Ship, S-H-I-P-P. And like I said, I'm looking at the IMDb Pro, you know, and checking out your stuff, that your filmography and your contacts and everything. Yeah, I totally understand what you're, you know, what you were sharing with Mike. And it is, I'm going to check out a comedy club tonight. Comedy is a grind. It is a grind. And putting out there, I did, you know, cruise ships, colleges, and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and as far as putting a TV show out, you know, what we've been working on, we've had our show for, pushing it for about 10 years. I mean, we, you know, we already have our one-sheet synopsis, our vision, as well as our pitch, as well as our 65-page pitch deck with a 10-episode episodic and a five-season plan. So, yeah, it's definitely, you know, getting out there, you know, because we've met with Anonymous Content, we've met with HBO, you know, and it is who you know. I got Stanley Clark; he's going to do our music
The
deal, and even he,
the legendary Stanley Clark.
And all we sent Stanley was the one sheet synopsis and the vision, you know, and we also had it read by Steve Nicolaitis, who did Boys in the Hood. That was how John Singleton, he was the guy that got Boys in the Hood off the ground, which was great. He read it, loved it, you know. So I understand, like you're saying, it is a grind to get your stuff out there and get people to look at it. You know, we, like I said, we're right now trying to, you know, work with Macro Productions to get, you know, Macro, Charles King, who produced.
Charles.
Fences and
Right.
What is that? They, you know, and they have their management company who represents Idris Elba, Michael B. Jordan, Taraji P. Henson, and we got to meet with them which went really well. You know, we through our literary agent, and then, you know, me and my producing partner, you know, and I'm with you, bro. I wish you much success in all that you're doing, and just
same
stay with
you.
It. Keep making it happen, man, you know, because it is definitely relationships.
Let me ask something what you just said. I was in a session last week at AFM, and it was the NAACP head guy from L.A., and his wife is Yvette Boozer, who did Living Single.
Erica
Alexander was on the panel, another lady, and this one brother who was an artist, major serious artist, right? So in the session at AFM, most brothers and sisters is in the room, a few white people. They were talking about, the title was called The Debt and what Hollywood needs to include black people, right? Mm-hmm. And the people was in there talking about, you know, a black lady was running Orion Pictures and another place was in another studio. And they were talking about how we need to be included and what we brought and how we saved networks and how we saved Hollywood, because black exploitation saved Hollywood. Fox actually became Fox because they messed with Martin. They messed with Living Single. They had New York Undercover, and black folks was watching it. There was a, you know, every Thursday, right? So there was a study done on how $10 billion was left on the table by Hollywood for not bringing in black content, not having black talent attached, and promoting it to the black community. $10 billion with a B. So the guy said, that is crazy. And Hollywood don't practice leaving money on the table. We all know that, right? So one of the brothers was like, oh, man, you know, I think what we need to do is work with these other communities, the Jewish community and the Chinese and whoever, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, me, I come from the school of Mr. Farquhar, and I was like, yeah, okay, I get what you're saying, and I'm not going to shit on what you're talking about. You're right, but I also believe in burning the candle at both ends of the wick. So while you're doing that, what I'm going to do over here is I'm going to work on building my own shit and promoting it to our own people, since we are the biggest consumers of entertainment. We're the biggest consumers of any product that's basically black. We buy the Nikes, the Adidas, the iPhones, and et cetera, right? So my point is this. If we know that we are the consumers, we know we influence the culture, we also have to take charge of the distribution of the storyline and pool our small resources. We got money. We just don't use it right. And put our money together. So I develop a formula how to make a movie for little or nothing. I know how to do that. I don't need a big crew. It can look good. I just have to make sure I have my target marketed and cater to that, whatever the genre is, whether it's comedy, horror, drama, action, whatever, suspense, thriller, whatever, sci-fi. You find your market. If you do it right, you can eat. And once you start making money, then you end up owning your IP. So my point, I told them, I said, we are alchemists by nature, and we created something out of nothing, like making chitlins out of the intestines of pigs, which became a Negro delicacy, right? But that's what we do. I said, but the whole point is we can't depend on people doing for us what we can do for ourselves. Because as soon as they get upset, Kanye, they'll pull the plug from you, and you ain't got no juice to plug in your iPhone to keep your phone up and running.
Amen.
So we have to build that shit ourselves. So, you know, with
that
the project,
so
but I love to talk to you about it, man, and maybe you find a way to, even if they don't mess with you, find a way for you to mess with yourself and see what happens. That's what we do.
Right. Well, the you know, what we did, like, we definitely, when Macro Productions said, do you have, because I believe I have one of the best researchers as a producing partner who you know, just envelops all this stuff. You know, he just sucks it all in about the business itself. And we worked together. They said, well, you need showrunners. Well, we gave them 8 showrunners that were already connected to Macro Productions. We also sent them Charles Murray, Devontae Shepard. We sent them. Also, I had at one time, you know, Jimmy Jackson. Big bass,
Jimmy
basketball
Jackson.
Yeah, he's from Ohio State.
I know Jimmy Jackson. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Jim Jackson loved the project. He got it to Queen Latifah's people. We got it to Ice Cube's people. We got it to LeBron James' people. But you got
to
see.
And what, and
everybody.
Okay. I have to chime in because I've given everybody enough time. I want you to share what was the outcome of getting that to all those people. What was the outcome?
Well, they went in other directions. I mean, you know, they were interested in other things. But see, the thing, like Stanley Clark said,
we already know that
our stuff is not for BET. We go on, you know, it's Netflix or it's Hulu. You know, we just don't want to just put out another black show. We want this show.
I follow that.
Like our show is about juvenile justice. Okay, they already now Netflix brings in a show about juvenile. It's called Juvenile Justice, and it's about South Korea. Okay, and now y'all went and pulled a show from South Korea when we already have it. That's why we know there's a market
Hold on, bro. No disrespect, but I have to look at it where that's probably a different topic that we can have on the show at a later point.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but I brought that up to let you know that we know we have a market for what we have. We know what we have, and we know that no one else has what we have. And that's why we can stand when someone says, when you take your product in, well, you know, man, you should change this or you should change that. No, you know what? We ain't changing nothing. Now, if you want to change something, we'll do that in development development deal. But until you do that deal, ain't gonna be no changing anything, you know. So you have to stand on what you believe and on your product that you have and know what you have, and that the writing is solid.
You're right.
We have everything because television.
So with that being said, I have to intervene here because we only have so much time. I mean, we can all talk for hours on this. Thing is that what we're going to talk about right now is that, you know, we do have a guest and he's sharing, you know, his knowledge, his experience. But I truly appreciate everybody's questions and comments. I want to give everybody a chance to share that. We have a limitation of how much time you have to share that and move forward. With that being said, let me tell you something, Derek, I had a picture of you, your regular, you know, a photo of you that you shared with us, right, for the show. And then on your social media page, you shared a photo of your character, okay? And there's a character you're going to be playing in a TV series, I guess, okay, as being a character known as Crackhead Vic.
No, Basehead Vic.
Basehead Vic. So this is what I did. I took both photos. The one of you, just Derek, you know, what you shared me, your
my headshot.
You
took my handsome headshot.
Your headshot, right, your headshot. So I played a trick on a few of my co-workers. I said, damn. He said, what's up, Mike? I said, I see a brother that I know who was doing great, fantastic. His ass got on that goddamn drug. I said, here's the photo.
Oh, man, you put that out there on me. That's cold.
And then, hold on, it was a joke now. I made it clear. But then I said, and now look how he looks now. And I put the photo that you put as your character, Basehead Vic. These individuals really believed it.
They really thought.
Yeah, they would believe it, man. Yeah, that character was, I bodied that character, bro. It was a small role. It's a small role for a series called On Chin by the great man Robinson, who resides in Atlanta. He got a 30,000 square foot studio, and he's putting out some serious content, man. I was honored to actually, he called me up when I was doing a film festival in Ohio a few weeks ago and asked me to come on for his last episode of season one to play that role. And I was like, well, man, you know. But then I thought about Samuel L. Jackson. I talked to Karen. She was like, you better play that role. And I wanted to be in season one. I was supposed to play an undercover cop, but I conflicted when I was shooting my pilot in New Jersey. So he replaced me with Malik Whitfield. But long story short, he asked me to come on. I came on set. Big Get from Goody Mop was there on that day. And he played a gangster, dope dealer. And it was epic, man. They dressed me up just right. And I bodied that role, baby. I was a modern-day Gator.
look, bro, I got to tell you, man. I was trying not to laugh when I showed you what I'm saying. When I showed them, you know, who you are in a regular way, right? Then I showed them your character role. And I was making a joke out of it. I was like, that's one of my homies. And all of a sudden, he just got, you know, on that drug and everything. And their response was like, oh, my God, are you serious? He really
man, if a dude do that
bad?
In 2020, he need to die, man. I can see 1986, but damn, 2020, after you see what happened, they was stupid to believe that shit. But anyway, go ahead, man.
That was comical to me because of things that were people do not understand certain things. Okay, with that being said, let me see. I want to make sure that I give everybody a chance to reach out and speak to the actor, the producer, the writer, author, and, of course, which we all in his circle call the alchemist, the dream chaser. This is Derek Muhammad, is our special guest. Now I see 213-399 on the board. If you have a question or comment, hit the number one on your phone or whatever you're calling from, and then I'll go ahead and open your mic. Derek, let me ask you this. With all the stuff that you've been doing in the past week and more in L.A., what have you learned, you know, with you meeting, I've seen the photos and everything. What have you learned from being in that event, because I'm looking at where you're talking with some, you know, some really important folks. You're networking with a lot of interesting folks. And I've been looking them up, you know, that's just me. I'm like, who is this? Some I know, some I don't know. But what have you learned from being part of this event for what you plan on doing in the future?
Man, I learned a combination of several things, a composition of several things, man. One thing is, if you see it in your mind's eye, like I have in the past when I lived in Ohio or when I was a little boy, it's achievable. If you got to see it first in your mind's eye, your mind is the screen. Now, once you have that thought and you just visualize it and dream it, that feeling, that good feeling comes into play. It's a magical force in the universe that can activate that dream and turn into reality. Now, it won't happen the next day. It might not happen in the next 5-10 years, but it can happen if you're willing to sacrifice and go work for it. So I believe that to be true. One of the also things is if you do nothing, I don't give a damn how dope your dream is. If you do nothing, nothing will happen. Nothing
exactly.
will happen. You could be the coldest rapper, gangster, singer, whatever, but if you don't get up off your ass and do something and commit to it, And we're willing to endure the no's, the rejections, where people telling you was crazy as hell to change your career at an old age, telling you you don't know nobody, you broke, you ain't that handsome, you ain't that tall, you ain't that funny, you ain't that talented. If you believe that, you will do nothing. But if you have to have a touch of madness, if you have a touch, and it's no guarantees and shit anyway. There's nothing guaranteed, but if you risk it and you go for it and you believe in yourself, the universe will line up you to be in the right place at the right time, to be in the right room, and for you to seize the moment. But once you get there, it's work on top of that. So in that, in what you're asking me, at AFM, I always wanted to go. I was blessed to go. I met some amazing contacts there, from finance people to distributors. Had two distributors before I went, left there, got two more. That got work, that won't work with me. Got finance people now. Got other producers that I'm going to be collaborating with. And this is what I want to tell all the people listening. You can't get to Tyler Perry, so scratch that idea. You can't get to Spike Lee, scratch that idea. But you can find someone on your level that has the same commitment, the same talent, the same energy, to collaborate with them. I'm learning that. Collaborate across the board. Come into play. Had a conversation with two producers earlier today from AFM. I put them together along with myself. I said, look, there's a conversation I had with Fred Williamson a couple years ago, The Hammer. He said it was him, Jim Brown, Jim Kelly, Richard Roundtree, Bernie Casey, Ron O'Neill. They was going to start a company called Black Hollywood in the 70s. He said they was going to make each other movies, take turn making movies. But the problem they had, it was all alpha men, and they couldn't decide who was going to be in charge. And I said, man, Fred, you done fucked it all up because we could be so far ahead. I said, because all y'all had to do was one work on one project, he in charge. The other person project, he in charge, and we could be ahead of this game. You know what you done sacrificed?
Right,
you know
right,
what?
Right,
what people
right,
come
right.
behind, you could have just built the strength. So my point is this, work across the board, collaborate with people of like mind, put your energy in it, get a good paperwork together because people get amnesia when it comes down to money and breaking bread, and do good work, do good business, and make it happen. So that's what I learned.
Okay, so
I hope that answers your question.
No, man, you shared a lot of shit there that I hope that everybody will listen to. 213-399 is calling in, so I'm going to open up their mic and let them share with their question or comment. 213-399, your mic is open.
Mike, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm learning. I'm a student right now, and I'm listening. And I'm enjoying. I'm just listening to the gym, and I'm pleased to meet each one of you over the phone like this. We're on the air, but I'm glued right now. I don't have any questions. I'm taking in data.
So you're glued. You're listening to it. Okay. Hold on, bro. I want to introduce you. You guys are talking, or you're hearing, Mr. Kevin Spencer, the former or the vocalist for the group called Dynasty on the Solar Records label, which, by the way, we had Ms. Carolyn Griffey on last Saturday prior to the broadcast on TV1 of the Solar Records One Song Story. So this is Mr. Kevin Spencer, who wrote many of the biggest hits for many of the Solar artists. Kevin, how you doing, my brother? And thank you for calling in.
I'm fine. Yes, I'm glad I was able to catch this and hear what I'm hearing. And I'm the music man. When I was, I heard one brother saying about he was in touch with Stanley Clark. And I remember I met Stanley Clark years ago in the studio with Reverend Jesse Jackson. And he was doing, he was doing Natalie Cole at the time. He was producing an album on her. So,
okay.
I have the same we shared the same birthday, so he made me show my driver's license because he didn't believe me. And so
Kev, I appreciate you calling in. And what I'm going to do before we get off air, I want to share something else because I'm going to extend the show a little bit longer because I want to give some much respect to, of course, Solar, you know, one of the unsung labels. We had Carolyn on, as I said, last Saturday, and you were on that show. Of course, Wardell Potts was on that show last Saturday. So I'm going to share some things that where old school music is still new school music. It's amazing.
Okay.
So, but I have to go back to our guest, which is Mr. Derek Muhammad. Derek, you know what I did? I'm going to tell you something that you might want to laugh at. I had a photo of you, okay, what you sent me for our flyer, right? I have many of them, right? But then when you sent me the photo of the character that you're going to be doing in this new show or series of Crackhead Vic and everything, I joked with an individual, okay? They thought that that was a true story. I
said
that,
that
where
already,
this person...
Mike?
Okay, I know I already said that, but I'm saying that where, but imagine this, if people come across the internet and see that photo and see it in a different vein, not knowing who you really are, not knowing what you're doing. I know I already said that, I'm saying, but imagine that comes across and people share that in a negative way and not knowing that, you know,
I mean, you know,
just,
they
you
do
know,
that. And I'm not. That's petty. I'm not concerned about that. You know what
so,
I mean?
But here's what I'm trying to get to. Look at what's going on now with social media. Look at where Elon Musk just bought it. Look at where, you know, the issues that's going on with Twitter, right? A lot of individuals, celebrities, well-known folks and everyday folks, there are some that are leaving Twitter because of Elon Musk. What I want to ask you is this. I want to ask you a few things of your point of view with what's going on, the craziness with that. We have just probably maybe another 30 minutes left. I want to ask you about that. And then you being a great movie critic, I've seen the movie, The Woman King. I'm assuming that you've seen it. I want to get your point of view on it. I've seen Till and everything. So I'm just throwing a lot of stuff out there with a little bit of time and for you to share, you know, your thoughts about these black movies, okay?
Right.
And the things that's going on, you know, in the industry, because we've been talking about this as far as being independent. So I'm going to give the mic over to you. What do you think about that, what I just said first, and then your thoughts about, you know, these black movies that are out now, Till,
well,
Woman
yeah,
King.
I mean, okay, so let me address the social media campaign. You know, social media is a tool. Now, you can use it to build a business, to build a brand, get some awareness, sell a product. But you can also use it to hurt people. You can use it to slight people. You can bully people with it. You can be negative with it, just like a shovel. You can use a shovel to plant a tree and see that tree grow, or you use a shovel and hit somebody in the head with it and kill them. It's a tool. So it's how you use your social media is the situation. You can't be so consumed thinking it. That it's real, it's bona fide, because Twitter is not a real place. Facebook ain't a real place. It's a tool. Mm-hmm. So it's how you use that tool. You can't be so engaged because people live these best lives on social media. You see the Instagram models, they all cold. You might meet them, and you be like, they ain't as cold as they were. You got catfished, right? These filters will catfish you. So you can't get so caught up on the illusion of what looks good. It's the substance of what it is. My whole point is with media in Hollywood, Hollywood is illusion. It's propaganda. They have you thinking that the white man is right at all times, and if you go against him, you're going to burn in hell. They painted Jesus white, and if you go against a white man, you're going to burn in hell. Your grandmama's going to be mad at you. My whole point is this. It's the substance of a thing. It's the results of the thing. It's what that thing really says. You know, like that old adage in the Bible. Somebody said they was going to do the will of God, didn't. Somebody said they wasn't going to do the will of God, did. Which one did the will of God? So it's not what you say. It's not the title you use. It's your actions. It's your results. That's what's important. So getting back to your point with the Woman King and with even Black Wakanda Forever and Teal. I'm going to give you my assertion on that. I just left the theater and saw Wakanda. I'll deal with them on the end of this. With Woman King. Woman King, the basis of it was a tribe that was selling slaves to the colonizers. They didn't know where the people were going. They captured their enemies. They sold it to the British or whoever, the Portuguese.
Right.
It didn't matter, some white people. And they didn't know what was going to happen to them until they weakened their whole population, and eventually they didn't have protection, and they got sold. They don't tell you that side. So Woman King really is about emasculating the black man. Ain't no such thing as a woman king. It's a woman queen. But right now, they're cutting off the black man balls, giving estrogen to women. They got them fighting and beating up dudes. And I seen a woman on the TV take a full shot to the jaw from a 250-pound man. In real life, she'd be dead. A man would be have his jaw broke. But in Hollywood, got these women emasculating, being a hero, and got dudes wearing dresses and want you to be okay with it, want your boys to be okay with it, okay? So I got a problem with that. Because if you allow these people to treat this trend right, got Billy Porter teaching LGBT on Sesame Street, and nobody say nothing, the church didn't say nothing, T.G. Jakes didn't say nothing, hell is wrong with them. They just sold out on television. They just sold out. They've been bought and paid for. Yeah, I said it. So my point is this. We got to control our own content. We got to put out stories to fulfill ourselves. All rap music, like Kanye says, I'm a F-U-B and I'm going to shoot a nigga. I'm a F-U-B and I'm going to shoot a nigga. And that's in trap music on radio. When I listen to independent radio, they got beautiful R&B songs, but they won't see the light of day because they got people that's gatekeepers pouring filth into our minds, into our children's minds, and none of us is saying a damn thing because we done been sold out and been bought and paid for. So the creatives got to have a revolution, a renaissance. We got to take back our culture. We got to take back our influence, our talent, and start promoting and producing quality content for our babies.
Right.
And let me finish the last part, then I'm going to let you go. Let me finish the last part, and I'm going to let you go. And then Wakanda Forever, I'm mad the fact that they're going to kill off T'Challa. He had one season? Just because the actor that played him died? You know how many Supermans they didn't have? How many Batmans they didn't have? How many James Bonds they didn't have? And this brother passed away, unfortunately. You can't replace him with another black actor that could deliver? Nah, they left room. I mean, maybe they could bring him back. It's Hollywood. But I'm pissed off about that. I'm pissed off about that. So I digress right now. I'm done.
Okay. You know what? You know, I agree with what you're saying because I have to think about it. Because what you just said, it does make a lot of damn sense. It really does hit home for me. You know, when I do this show, I don't come on here to share my thoughts. I want to hear everybody's thoughts. When I have guests on, I want to hear their – I don't try to change anybody's thoughts.
No.
You know, that's not my job. Okay? It's an open platform. But what you just shared is what I want to hear. Honesty, truthfulness from an individual. So you just did that, bro. I mean, seriously. And so
word.
when it comes to you know, us understanding our thought process, some of us think one way based on what, you know, what we've been taught or teached. But there's a lot of different ways of learning information and understanding. When you were talking about just now about the woman king, there's no such of a woman being a king. There's queen and king. I watched the movie. I did. I watched it. It was entertaining, but in my mind I'm thinking, but that's not reality of whatever the story was, because I looked and looked at the, it's based on a particular tribe, right? But Hollywood, again, changed the story, which they do many times. When they say based on the true story, no, tell the true story. Don't say based. See, when you put based on, I know Hollywood is going to go ahead and add something, some bullshit. That's not going to be true. Understand my point?
All I'm saying is this,
that when they say based on a true story, I'm like, okay, that ain't real. If you say a true story, I might believe it. Let me add to that, Mike.
So with the Woman King, I'm going to give you an example. You cannot get greenlit in Hollywood unless you have a homosexual agenda. Or a white woman with a black man, and particularly black women with white men or Mexicans now or Asians now. You will see a commercial right now. You'll see that mixture. They're destroying the nuclear black family. They get movies, like even with Woman King, the brother was high yellow. He had a white dad who came back, and he was passing as a white man looking for slaves to sell. So, but then this is the killer part. This is the killer part that got me. At that time, in the king's chamber, he had a gay guy in a dress who was the advisor to the king. That is a Hollywood ploy. That did not happen. I ain't got to be there to know that. That did not happen,
right.
That did not take place, that was artificially inseminated in that storyline to make black people look like you've always had gay people, you've always been with that, and that's the European thing. History can tell you that. With the Wakanda, you know, I mean, I like it, but Wakanda's not a real place either. So anyway, that's it.
Okay, so with that being said, I want to go ahead and get to my co-hosts and other individuals here, because I think this is a very interesting conversation, because it was not really brought up or part of our plan, but I want to let the lady in the house, Janet Davis, chime in. She's been sitting back listening. What's your thoughts? Yeah.
I just want to say one thing. In Woman King, the guy that had the dress on, he was supposed to be a eunuch. And they talk about that in the Bible. Men who are castrated because they are taking care of the women that belong to the king. To keep them having sex, they castrate them. So I don't know why they had him walking around talking and acting like he was gay, but he was supposed to be a eunuch.
Oh, I'm glad you cleared that up, but they didn't clear that up. So anyway, but thank you.
Right. They did not clear that up. So they portrayed him as being gay, but it's not necessarily true. Okay, so then let's see. 213-399, I'm sorry. You have another comment that you want to share before we get out of here? Your mic is open. In fact, all mics are open if you have a question.
Because you didn't get back to Cotton.
Right. Cotton, where is she? Her call dropped. She didn't hang out.
Let me say this while you were
her call
dropped. Let me say
this.
There's a group of people in Hollywood that meet once a year, and they create the trends from fashion, music, and movies.
Mm-hmm.
And that old adage has been bought out by the newcomers of that generation because this has been going on for years. So right now the trend is to promote LGBTQ, promote the destruction of the black nuclear family, and also promote the woman thing where she's the ruler. She's driving the car. You'll see a commercial now where you see the woman is driving the car and the guy sitting in the passenger seat looking passive, right? And this is a trend that they're creating right now in Hollywood. We, as independent filmmakers and conscious people of our community, we need to take back our minds, need to take back what influences us and start influencing each other with righteous thoughts, with quality programming. You know, they destroyed the legacy of Bill Cosby because they didn't go after Woody Allen, who married his own daughter. You know
Amen.
What I mean?
Yeah.
They ruined our legacy, you know, and I don't know if Bill did all that, but he was illegally put in jail on charges that was hoping that he was going to die in jail, and they ruined him. Now the Cosby Show is a joke where it used to be where you would want a father like Heathcliff Cuskable and a mama like Claire. That gives you something to shoot for if you didn't have it in reality. That's the whole thing. You want to have something that you can attain to, a goal, a role model. And white people have role models. They've been having that. But now they're teaching
the children disrespecting their parents. But you know what? You just said something. White people, Bill Cosby was a role model for white and black folks with the show. White folks believe that this is what black folks are. But the thing is that, I'm going to clarify this. Think about what the Huxtable family was. It was a successful black family. It wasn't the Jeffersons. It wasn't the good times. Okay. Finally, Hollywood or television said, you know what? Bill Cosby came in and said, let me share with you all where here we live in a spot and everything, and share a comedy show, okay, about a black family. Here's the thing I want to share with something that you guys need to think about. The most successful black shows were comedy shows. The most. I challenge you to tell me there was any black shows that had anything to do with reality that the white shows have. The most successful black shows in history were comedy shows. Regardless of what situation that you put them into, they always had a comedy aspect to them. Am I wrong?
I'm going to say this. You know, they took Cooley High and turned it into what's happening. So they took the seriousness of Cooley High and made what's happening.
I saw that. Yeah. I'm glad that you said that because I just saw that just a day ago of the whole story about it. I do my research.
Yeah, and let me add on. They took the movie South Central, which was a good movie, and made it a comedy, right? But I'm going to tell you something. I was at AFM and Erica Alexander from Living Single was there. And she stated that when they did Living Single, the president of NBC said he wished he had a show like that, and a year later they came up with Friends. So they took Friends and created it. They took Living Single and created Friends with that. And Friends made the most money per cast member, $2 million an episode, because they were the highest watch. But they took that from... They took that from Living Single because Living Single was breaking all the records. So we create culture. We create the trend, but these people hijack our culture and they feed it back to you after they water it down and weaken it, and then they can get you going opposite and That's why I always say, in Islam we say, you're easily led in the wrong direction and hard to lead in the right direction. We got to get our minds out of watching mainstream television. They are the enemy, and I'm here to tell you that.
Okay.
News
so, Derek, you are on point, and that's a definite fact. Because here's the thing. Years ago, when I was much younger, I'm 60 years old. For some reason, I looked at the TV guide. Most of, I don't think many folks remember TV guide.
Yeah, I remember.
Remember that? Okay.
Yep.
Okay. I'm just making sure that you guys are on point here. And I would look at the TV shows are going to be on every week. There was a publication you would get every week. And then I look at the shows, and at one point, what I did, I looked at what's crime, drama, and entertainment. I really did that. Most of the black shows, as which we already talked about, were comedy shows. Comedies. When it came to crime and everything, guess who was the individual that was the criminal? The black man.
Oh, it was always a black person. You know, I mean, I'm going to tell you,
right,
people with the
right.
black exploitation movies that saved Hollywood, they say, yeah, we'll do it, but it has to have the lower element of black society, the pimps, the hoes, the prostitutes, the drug dealers. So all those all those stereotypes was portrayed in Hollywood for us creating the black exploitation movies, you know. And there's so many facets to the black people's culture. They don't care about that. They just want to keep us downtrodden and show us in a negative light. So when people around the world, and I mean around the world, see us, they look at us and run because we look uncivilized and savage. And that also with reality TV and that soul nastiness of how they have the people acting, which is never true, is always scripted. They act like that, and now it's portrayed out in real time where you see a girl who get upset in a restaurant and have a temper tantrum because she got that idea in reality TV. And then somebody go upside her head and set her straight. So, you know, I mean, it's feeble minds, but that's what we got to protect. We got to protect what we take in, why we taking in, and the artists and the creators got to do better. We got to do better. I ain't saying drugs and pimping and all that don't exist, but it should not be at the forefront, you know. Women got it right.
Correct.
Now. They used to want to be school teachers, and now they want to be stripper hoes.
I want to share this. You know, the reason why I had Derek as our guest, because he's experiencing so much things, and to be honest, he's just, you know, really looks at what's really going on in not just in Georgia, not just in his hometown, not just in California, but just what's really happening in the black community. And we as black individuals are not addressing these issues and trying to find a way of us to understand is that we really need to address it. We really need to address it. You look at where rappers are being shot, not based on their music, based on beefs that they have with other individuals. I wanted to talk about that based on what had occurred with the murder of one of the Amigos. But it's like, I'm not a follower of the Amigos. You know how I found out about this? Based on the fact that here's another black person murdered. I'm not a follower of him or his music. But the social media brought it to my attention. I'm like, oh, another rapper killed? Is that what you want to be known as? As another rapper killed, not based on your talent? I'm trying to understand this shit, to be honest. already, you know.
Well, I don't know too much about that. I just know it was weird.
No, I'm saying that's crazy as hell. But then you have these individuals in social media sharing their ideal of what's going on. There's other individuals involved, okay? I'm not afraid. I'm seeing all these stories and everything. And I'm like, come on, y'all. Is this entertainment to hear a person getting murdered? But you're not promoting what they've done. Go ahead, bro. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm going to say this. You know, as in a video game, especially the violent video games, Call of Duty,
right.
Grand Theft Auto, you create a whole bunch of people to become sociopaths, man, where they playing these video games for hours. And then you throw in the drugs, the weed ain't the same weed you had when I was coming up. It's laced with some chemicals in there that
right.
make you violent, make you docile, make you not have a conscious, a soulless, whatever, and you stay high all day. And along with ignorance, some depression, some lack, some resources, and you got a Negro on autopilot for self-destruction, not only for himself but for everybody that he in his community. And you put that in every aspect. I mean, it's social engineering at the finest, man. So, you know, it's a combination of things from entertainment to music to social engineering to poor public school education to chemicals in your food to hypnosis. I mean, it is crazy. You hypnotize people with the beat. The music, the drill beat
right.
is a hypnotic beat.
Right, right.
And if you have to kill that nigga,
right.
shoot, you know what I mean? That just going to go in the
subconscious. Right. No,
shoot young Dolph going to buy cookies for his birthday party and not care. They could shoot a Nipsey Hussle and not care. And, you know, it's a lot to go along with that. I can't say too much because it'd be allegations or, you know, slander. But, you know, I mean, you know, it's wicked out here, man. But somebody got to call it out. And somebody also, those who are conscious enough, have to create an alternative universe. They got the meta universe. We need to create our own alternative universe. And that's what I plan to do with my
right.
filmmaking and story.
Well, I'm trying my best to have a network, voice or a point of information where you don't have to do all that. You know, what you just said is so true. It's really true. But you don't
yeah.
have to go down that.
We can't no longer be trying. We got to do. No more trying.
Right, what you do and what you share, I really appreciate. That's how come I'm so thankful that you come on the show, you know, and share your knowledge and for you to travel throughout these United States and network. You know, I really love for you to continue to come on and everything, but we gotta really do better, okay? And to be honest, I hate saying that because many folks say we got to do better. No, we got to really get out there and talk face-to-face with the individuals that are having really issues. We really have to.
I agree. And before
you
go, I just want to give a shout out to my business partner Karen White for helping me get into my film career and supporting me every step of the way. So shout out to her and her generosity and help me leverage her celebrity and for me to garner attention and all the wonderful people I met.
Exactly. Okay, so I'm going to shut my mouth up, but, you know, I'm very serious about what I share on this network. I'm very serious, and I'm very thankful to all the individuals like yourself that come on this network. I'm very honored and appreciative of it. I don't look at it for Michael. I look at it for people. there's people who have supported me for many of years, and many are still here. And our whole process is this, is share the truth, share the knowledge, share the individuals who can teach you, can teach you how to be better. So with that being said, I'm thankful for having you on, bro. I mean, seriously, you have shared some things with me. If you had not said what you said to me, this show would not be on. Derek Muhammad said, man, you got to open up your own thing. Honestly, no one else supported me. Derek Muhammad said key words. Now, granted, over the years, I've been blessed to have great artists. But without Derek Muhammad saying, man, get your shit going, this would not be here. Okay, so I'm being honest with y'all, okay? I'm being very honest because only I can tell you the truth about my journey. You can't tell me about that. So let me go ahead and open up some mic, and we have to go ahead and shut down and move on and get ready for the next show next Saturday. And by the way, don't forget, on the TMGN, the Michael Gade Network, there's other shows there. So I want you guys to go ahead and check them out. You know, loving my new shows and the individuals who came forward and said they want to be on this network. I really love Cotton Campbell and the ladies of TMGN, what they've done. They've created two shows on our network. That's what we need to do. And they do whatever they want to do. I have no issues with what Cotton wants to do on her show. It's her show. All right? So before we go, let me go ahead and let Janet Davis chime in on what we were just talking about.
I just want to thank Derek for coming on and sharing all this valuable information with the audience and your the co-host, including me. And so thank you. Yes, I appreciate what you have told us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's very important. Now, I'm looking at the board. I'm seeing that there's not many folks there. See, the thing is that we're available on every social media network, meaning that you can hear this show on Instagram, on Spotify. I mean, just look up the TMGN. You can hear this show. If you didn't hear it live, fine. But you hear what this guest just shared with us. So, I mean, it's very important for us to look at the facts, stories, you know. And what Derek just shared, in my opinion, we need to investigate. We need to go ahead and follow and look at it. We really do. We can't always say a negative when there is a positive in the story, right?
Well, that's right. And one of the things about black people, man, we have the ability to do a lot. We just have to exercise that and stop thinking less than what we are. It's more to us than what we think it is. We're brilliant people, brilliant, magical, majestic people. We just need to know that and come up out of it and do better. Black excellence at all times.
You know what? You said something right there that, in my opinion, damn fucking right. Unfortunately, we have been programmed to be the individuals who hate ourselves. We've been programmed to hate ourselves. We got to get out of that process. You're right. We have to stop. You know, you know, what's so funny is that when I walk by a brother, you know what I do? I immediately just nod my head. You know, that's a, and,
right.
I mean, that's always been a thing that we've always done to each other. We've always just nod your head in acknowledgement as us.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, culture has really turned us against each other, man, and we need to take it back. The gatekeepers of the current popular music, which is hip hop right now, got us doing worse than we used to be, like, you know, having, going to a party, having a good time. Then it went from selling dope to now it's using dope. You know what I mean? Went from having a party to shooting up a party. From queens to bees, you know what I mean? So we got to change that.
Right.
We got to tell them we don't want this kind of madness no more, and get that out of this, get that out of our rotation. You know, it's much more to life than being a pimp player and a trick and a stripper. You know, we need to be teaching code and economic finances, financial literacy, cooperative economics. You know. And then once we do that, then we won't need nobody. We'll have all that we need to do what we want. And we can build our Wakanda forever.
Here's the thing I want for any black individual or white. I don't care who you are. Understand the fact, if you're white and you're hearing this show and you question how come black folks are a certain way, well, let me tell you this. This is what black folks do. Look at what you just heard. Things that was just said. If you continue to do business in a negative way, it's going to have a negative outcome. But if you give the opportunity for both of us, black or white, to work together and respect each other, there would be no negativity.
Right.
Black folks,
exactly.
If you keep on, black folks, if you keep on hating your own skin color, your own background, your own history, guess what? You're going to be in the same situation that you're on or dealing with right now, unless you work with yourselves and deal with yourself.
Yeah. I always say, accept your own and be yourself. And you can accomplish what you will, period.
Because you will, at that point, will probably get more support. I'm thankful, and I'm going to go ahead and shut down the show, but you know what? I'm thankful, bro. I'm thankful for the fact that, you know, I started on my own. I reached out and worked with another network. Learned from that network, not part of them. But you know what? I have my own network, and I'm blessed to have some great black individuals, and I've had some great, you know, white folks who come on, you know, to share their stories and everything. I've learned a lot. Is that where you have to, you know, I've learned a lot of where I can make mistakes, but I can correct them. But if you don't do it immediately, then it becomes a real problem. Well, everything that you work for and everything, it's gone. So
right. Well, before you go, Mike, let me give people my social media. Follow me on IG.
Please,
under Immortal. Follow me under Immortal Colossal Supreme. That's my superhero name on IG. And my book, Guerrilla Film Grind, How to Make a Movie for Little or Nothing. You can get that by my website, Derek M. Muhammad, MUHAMMAD.com, and we're gonna sell a million copies a million times. So I appreciate it.
I'm sorry, I put myself on mute. Hey, you guys, I'd say I'm very honored to have Derek Muhammad here on the show. And many of you already know that Derek has been here before sharing. So before we get out of here, 213-399, you have a final comment or question? Your mic is open. 21399. Okay. All right, so we're going to get out of here. Thanks to all my co-hosts, all of the callers, all of the folks that were in the chat room for this conversation. You gotta look at where, you know, we have to do a lot better in the black community. But that was not the topic. The thing is that we had a guest, and he shared his journey, which he's continued to do, which is Derek Muhammad. And you guys, please follow him on all social media networks. And I really appreciate you, Derek. Thank you for tuning in, okay?
All right.
Say hello to Karen for us. And also, I want to see that show that you're going to be as, what is the character's name? Hold on a minute. I'm on the show, damn it. Don't knock on my door. So, I'm on my show. Hold on. Yeah, well, you know what I do. You know, I have to act that way. But anyway, I'll talk to you later. And thank you guys.
Take care.
God bless. I love you. Peace. Thank you all.